Morning, Dennis here.
Hi, Dennis. It's Michelle calling from Inland Revenue.
Good morning.
Morning. And we also have some other people here attending. So we've got Gary Swain, who's a solicitor, and then also Alan Telford, who's the team lead for customer compliance.
Yeah. Morning, boys.
Good morning, Mr. Smith. Gary Swain here.
Hi,
good morning.
Gary. Morning, Alan.
This is Alan Telford here.
Morning.
Okay, we're ready to proceed.
Okay, so in relation to what we agreed upon, Dennis, you wanted to discuss some of your grievances that you've had. We've also received the documents you sent through today by email.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to just initially before we get into that, just wanted to confirm that you are you agree to recording this phone call.
All my calls are automatically agreed in and out. I use a VoIP system, and you are welcome to record as well.
All right, thank you very much for that, Dennis.
Are you guys all in the same room, or are you operating digitally?
We're all in the same room. It's 2 meters apart.
Okay, thank you. Please proceed, Rochelle. I presume you're running the operation.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you, Dennis. Well, did you want to discuss the documents you've sent through today?
Discussion, no, unless you want to. Happy to address any issue. What I would like to do, please, is to read that statement. I'm happy to summarise the first five, which are just historicals, but I'm assuming that you've read it all. Is that correct?
No, I haven't. Alan, here, I haven't read it. I started reading it, so I'm happy if you...
Okay, I'll summarise the first five, Alan, and then I'll move into the critical ones are only really the ones that relate to existing IRD staff and the current matter, but it's important for me, please, for the document to be recorded. So, Rochelle, what I'll do is I'll summarise the first five and then I'll read 5 through 10, if you don't mind.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you for that, Dennis.
Could I just start, go for it. What you're summarising is
the
document that you've sent through today, and it's titled IRD Grievances - Summarised.
That's correct. What I intend to do is assume that the first five points are historical and that you can read faster than I can speak, and then I'll actually read points 6, 5, 6 onwards, and then we're happy to proceed with whatever it is that you want to talk about.
That is fine, thank you.
So the first one is a historical one. When I was in my early 20s, I lodged a return with all the documentation, which IRD basically threw out and said, no, there's no way that as a student teacher your receipts are valid, and for no reason they cut it in half. I did nothing at that stage because the 2-3 years in my late teens I had ripped off the IRD to the tune of what they refused me, so I said, yeah, okay, there is a God, all right, whatever, moved on. But I learned a good lesson from that, which was that IRD basically could determine whatever they wanted. At that stage, it was a male, a different legislation, different time frame, but it was a good lesson. Point two, the essence of that was that I offered to pay $3,000 to $4,000 in PAY and GST of a company that I used to own. IRD chose not to accept that, but chose to wind the company up. And I stood in the High Court of Auckland with the High Court judge telling me that there's not a court in the country that would overturn an IRD ruling or commissioner's ruling. He said, I know it sounds crazy, but even though your offer to pay that you don't have to, I can't take it. So I said, okay, move on. Point three was a $99,000 loss to me personally. It was my own issues. I got booted out of Samoa. I lost everything. So the second page, point four, but there is $100,000 tax advantage, which a private charitable trust lost as a result of non-documentation. You guys didn't care. It was like, whatever. No documents, no tax advantage. Okay, whatever. Point four, go Samoa. This is important to Alan, I presume. It's the legal weight of Crown law versus the tax department. It set me up to realize that it didn't matter even if a recording was held or an agreement was entered into. If Crown Law chose to do whatever Crown Law wanted to do, they could do that independent of any agreement reached with IRD. This is a challenge to you guys. I understand that. But when you have, I don't like using the word dishonesty, but I'd say deception or a hidden agenda, that you guys have ways of achieving your goal. And point four details an event that occurred. I'm happy to go into it if you want to, but there's probably no need. I established Go Samoa and intended to take my family around New Zealand on a working promotional tour. The situation changed. They stayed. I renamed the company Righting the Wrong and, you know, went proceeded to do or whatever I proceeded to do. The investigator, Alex Z. Anakin, sorry if I get your names wrong, Rochelle and them, but I'll do the best I can. Alexi was quite defensive in the first stage of the meeting. He just came straight out and said, oh, look, it wasn't used in the determination that the company hadn't completed a tax advantage, a taxable activity. I said, bullshit, it's in the file notes. I got it under the OIA. And he said, no, it wouldn't be. I said, I'm going to hold you to account. I put my left hand up, forefinger, probably about 3 meters away from him, and said, I'm going to hold you to account that it was not used. And sure enough, what did Crown Law do? They attempted to put it in front of the judge. So at that point, I thought to myself, okay, well, you guys got your systems, but basically Crown Law can overrule an agreement between the Inland Revenue Department investigator and myself. So that's what I learned. 2007, David Welsh attended, I don't know if you know him, he may not be with the department still, I don't know, but he attended and I gave him evidence of $700 million worth of tax fraud. He basically said stuff off. I said, hang on a minute, it's against the law, and he said, you know, crimes are committed every day. So the bottom of the second page, five, from this I learned that IRD was more interested in presenting themselves in a positive light than actually seeking to enforce the law. Now, I do not hold anything against you guys individually. However, the experiences I have learned over the years is that the upholding of the law depends on individuals' agendas and choices and whether or not they will do something or choose not to do something. This would not matter except that I have made a repeated claim that there is a personal agenda out to get me. I'll get onto this further. Point six, Crown Law. Alexei commenced his verbal presentation on the back foot, explaining why his secret research, which I had found and proved by way of OIO request, was not actually used in forming the CIR's opinion. I did not believe him, this is page 3, and told him that. So when confronted, and he then insisted that was so, I advised him to hold him to assurance that if it ever came to court, Crown Lord did indeed try to use that error in his finding as evidence against me in court, contrary to his strong and repeated assurance otherwise. So this is really important for me, and the reason, Rochelle, that we have gone backwards and forwards, it's important for me that this complaint is on the record because I do not trust you. It's not a personal thing, although it may turn into one, but I do not trust the IRD. And I want you to see that regardless of whether I'm screwed in my mind or whether there is logic behind it, I do believe that IRD is out to get me. Are we okay so far, team?
Yes, thank you.
I'll continue reading. 7.2. In 2018, Linda Zafirik, I presume that's how I say her name, I don't know. At that same meeting, I listened as Linda Alexey's immediate supervisor sat directly opposite me at table and lied to my face, as I had established, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter what she lied about. The point is that she lied, and I learned that there are people within the department who will deceive if they feel they can get away with it. And I, you know, said, excuse me, this is wrong or immoral or illegal or whatever. But at this point, I just wanted to record that there was an event that occurred where I understood. Point 8, Marianne Hansen is Linda's immediate supervisor. My understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong there, but she was group team, if Linda was team leader, Alexey's boss, then Marian Hansen was Linda's boss group. So I went to her and I said, excuse me, she's investigated herself, this is wrong. And I wasn't really happy with the end result, but it was not worthwhile fighting, so I didn't. Now, in that conversation, this is point 8, third line, I casually dropped into conversation that my upcoming book, Inland Revenue Unmasked, would have a beautiful high-resolution colour photo of the named individual on the cover as a person who I saw showing the world the face of corruption. Within 2 days of that private conversation, the individual in question removed the photo off multiple variations of her Facebook pages, and she deleted her entire LinkedIn profile, a series of acts deliberately designed to prevent the public knowing her identity and role within IRD. So what I can prove happened was that Marianne Hansen advised Linda that Dennis was going to put her photo taken, she didn't know whether it was LinkedIn or Facebook, but it was a high resolution photo that Linda had put out there. And I saw that there was actions occurring behind the scene to protect the reputation of IRD and individuals. That's fine, but I had the proof, and I just said, right, I'll note that. Point 9 is a generalized statement. Over the years relating to this matter, I've watched with interest as 3 or 4 investigators. There was a lady who caused the problem right in the beginning. It was innocent. She passed it straight to Robert, then to Alexey, and then to someone else, I think, and then you ended up with it, Rochelle. Linda, Marianne, Crown Lord. Oscar Upperton, I'll never forget the day he stood in court and what he said. And I thought to myself, yeah, okay, I got it, sus. Last page. Then the judiciary, Sinclair J. Now, I can't blog about it. I'm not allowed to. This is your cup of tea, Gary, but I obtained I spoke to the judge first and I said, I'm a blogger. I'm a licensed investigative blogger. I generally try to do things openly. And she said, I've never had that situation before. put an application in. So based on Sinclair's advice, I did an application, which was refused. That's fine. She said, no, you know, TRA matters are confidential. That's fine. But in the process, I observed ample dishonesty, corruption, and self-interest from the IRD. And so I expect that. I expect you guys, based on current, you know, point number 10, that you guys know who Rochelle's immediate supervisor is. I mean, your attendance, Gary and Alan, is obvious. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there, and she would be, or he or she, whoever that is. They also know that this has not been revealed to me. I'm the taxpayer. I have never been told, Rochelle, who your immediate supervisor is. I believe that you know why it has been withheld and that you're there because of that identity. So I'll finish up now and I'll just read these last two paragraphs. The result is that I do not, therefore, trust the IRD as an organization due to the dishonesty of specific individuals who have shown and continue to demonstrate to me bias along with excessive self-interest. It is my claim, last paragraph, that the commissioner's position is that the taxpayer is not conducting a taxable activity is wrong, that her position and conduct has contained and still contains impropriety by way of a personal agenda and bias, conduct that has and continues to seriously disadvantage me. I have finished explaining my grievances. I do not seek or ask anything more other than the opportunity to share them. This is on the record. I have shared them. Thank you so much for listening. It meant a lot to me. I'm now happy to address any issue you want openly and honestly.
Okay, thank you very much, Dennis, for sharing your grievances. So, yes, we are now ready to discuss the current dispute.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. So, in relation to that, we've received, in terms of point three, which was exchange of material information, so you've provided that today by email. Is that correct?
What I have supplied you is I've gone through all the, this is the documentation that you're talking about. It's a zipped RAR file, or zip file, which I've supplied this morning. Is that what you're referring to, Rochelle?
Yes, Dennis.
That RAR, I have gone through, taken all the invoices from the company going back the last, what, 2-3 years or something. I just went back. I'm happy, if there's anything missing, I'm happy to, you know, fill it in. But what I've done is I've taken all the invoices, documents, or whatever I think is appropriate. I think there's a bank statement as well. The bank statement only allows me to go back 2 years online. I've zipped it all up, created PDFs, put it in one folder, zipped it up, and sent it to you. If there is anything missing, please ask me for it. It is not my intent to deceive. I've just simply gone copy, paste, whatever. I do believe that it has enough that you guys should be able to look at the situation and say, okay, it's obvious that something's, the wheel's fallen off somewhere. It's obvious that this guy is still in business doing whatever he says he is. If there's a dollar or an invoice missing, just ask me for it, Rochelle. But yes, I do believe that there is sufficient information there for you guys to realize the error of the judge's ruling or the initial commissioner's initial position.
Dennis, it's Alan here. I started looking through a couple of those invoices.
Sure.
But, again, ran out of time. There's a lot that has landed on our desks this morning.
Yeah, sure.
So in there, are there bank statements for all periods, and have you sorted those invoices in the relevant GST period, into the relevant GST period?
All the dates, I believe, are relevant. the bank statement is the last 2 years because I can only go back 2 years online. KiwiBank, all I did was I, like, understand that it's last minute stuff simply because I had only received Rochelle's explanation of why it was only two periods. So the periods 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and all the rest right up till today, I have never filed anything because the commissioner had determined that it wasn't a taxable activity. So there's no point in me continuing. When I received on Friday, Rochelle, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I forget exactly when, but you replied to me with a logical explanation that was quite detailed, saying, basically, Dennis, we've only taken two periods because you've only done two returns. I haven't checked that, but it made sense to me. So I thought, oh, well, right, okay, so let me send you all the data. So, yes, there is bank statements for the last 2 years, I believe, Alan. And, by the way, if you want to delay and do this meeting another time, it's no problem for me. I'm not trying to cause you any problems. If you want time to digest it, take as long as you want. It's been going on for 6 years, so it's, you know, another week or two or ten doesn't kill me.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is finish the meeting as per the agenda.
Yeah,
but
sure.
As you've given us a lot of stuff this morning, we will have to look at that and consider it. So there's no doubt going to be further communications in that regard. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
But I'll tell you what, I've got a, if you like, you've had an opening statement. What I'd like to do is just summarise, if you like, our position. Is that okay?
Go for it. I'm at your mercy. You tell me what you want.
Okay. Well, so this is fairly sort of, I wouldn't say detailed, but it's just a summary of what I believe that where we're at. So, and my interest is really in regard to the current dispute, okay? That's where it really begins and ends, but I've put the background in there. So writing the wrong limited was found not to have a taxable activity by virtue of a taxation review authority decision dated 15 August 2019.
Correct.
The dispute concerned four GST periods ending in 2017, so that's January, March, May and July. The Commissioner's assessments for these four periods were therefore confirmed. The presiding judge, Sinclair, also gave consideration to righting the wrongs activity up until March 2019. Writing the Wrong had filed 8 further returns up until the date of the judgment for the periods ending between November 2017 and March 2019. Judge Sinclair stated at paragraph 60 of this judgment that she wasn't satisfied that Writing the Wrong had a taxable activity at any time up until March 2019. By virtue of section 89C, of the Tax Administration Act, the Commissioner assessed these returns to nil that were filed between 1 December 19 and 7 May 19. So that's those aforementioned periods. This is because Writing the Wrong did not have a taxable activity as determined by the TRA in those periods as well. So Section 89CG allows the Commissioner to make an assessment without first issuing a notice of proposed adjustment, and so those periods are not included in the notice of proposed adjustments relating to the current dispute. And the law reads, the Commissioner must issue a notice of proposed adjustment before the Commissioner makes an assessment unless the assessment is made as a result of a direction or determination of a court or the taxation review authority. So we consider this to be a determination that Sinclair made. On August 22, 2019, that's 1 week after the judgment was made, the Commissioner received GST returns from Writing the Wrong for the two-month periods ending May and July 2019. The Commissioner issued various letters and had various communications with you in an attempt at establishing the accuracy of those returns. The Commissioner was not satisfied that returns are accurate, and also it appeared to the Commissioner that righting the wrong had not changed its non-taxable activity status. This status was established from various statements made by you on the nature of that righting the wrong was doing now what it was doing before. Judge Sinclair of the taxation...
Excuse me a moment, Alan. Can you just clarify that? That last... like all the rest I understood, I haven't checked it, but I understood what you're saying. But the last paragraph or last statement, can you just explain what you mean? Because I didn't understand that.
What I'm saying is you've sent Rochelle emails and also may have contacted her on the phone, basically stating that you're doing the same activity that you did before.
That is correct.
Right.
That is the key turning point.
Yep.
Where the determination that righting the wrong was not conducting a taxable activity up to 2019, that there has been no change, and I will tell you this now ever since, because the ruling was wrong.
Yep.
That's my position as a director of the company. I mean, whether or not it's determined legally or whatever, the ruling was wrong, and therefore, with no change, it's caused a problem.
Correct. Well, it's caused the dispute. Okay.
That's correct. So, if that's what you meant by that statement, that's fine. I understand. Can we move on? Yep.
Sure. So, I've just got another paragraph or so to go. So,
yep.
Sinclair of the TIRA determined that righting the wrong did not have a taxable activity.
Yes.
Right the wrong at 2 months from the date of judgment to challenge the decision, and the decision was not challenged. And so
correct.
It had further dispute rights in relation to that judgment. The Commissioner must follow the decision. Despite Mr. Smith, yourself continuing to argue to the contrary, righting the wrong still did not have a taxable activity as far as the Commissioner is concerned, unless righting the wrong can provide evidence to the contrary to our satisfaction that it has got a taxable activity.
Okay. That it has what?
That it has got a taxable activity.
Okay.
Right, so that's the crux of what the dispute's about. Have you got a taxable activity, and have you provided to Rochelle evidence that backs that up to our satisfaction? Okay, so that's the end of my introduction.
Where to now?
So, Rochelle, so it's... back to number four, I believe, on the key on the agenda, discuss the issues raised by the taxpayer. So why is the CIO truncated limited this matter to only two periods when there have been many more since? Has that been satisfied? The explanation that Rochelle gave you last Friday to your satisfaction?
The best way, I can't answer that question directly. The best way of addressing it, though, Alan, is saying that Rochelle has given me a reason that on the surface justifies me supplying you with more information. I'm not saying that I agree with it, and I'm not saying it is sufficient explanation or that I'm accepting it. What I'm saying is that as a result of reading it, it didn't matter what she said. The point was that she had validated it, her decision to only enter in the two periods sufficiently that I said to myself, oh, okay, whatever. It's reasonable for her to get more information, which is what I then sent her everything for the last 2 years.
Right. Okay.
Did that make sense?
It certainly did. Thank you. And
it was only Friday morning that I got it. It was Friday afternoon that I collated it. I did nothing over the weekend, and it was only this morning at 8 o'clock or something that I went in there, zipped up all Friday's work and zapped it through to her. So, to go through to validate whether or not that's actually correct or true or whatever, it doesn't really matter. The point is that she gave me a reason other than the conspiratorial one, which I believed all the way through, which was that the reason why she was only doing two periods was that because if she looked at 3 years of trading, then obviously invoicing for 3 years shows there is a taxable activity. But, I mean, her explanation was sufficient for me to say, oh, okay, that's reasonable. Doesn't matter if it's right or true, I agree to it, but it's reasonable, so slap it through. So I did.
Okay, well, thank you for the email. So why hasn't this information been provided before?
Because you didn't want it. You told me I was conducting and not conducting activity. I'm only doing what you told me to do. I wish to comply.
But for the two GST periods, so if this information in your email that you sent through today, covering those two GST periods...
No.
This is for the later periods only.
That's correct. It's everything from 2009 through to 2022 current.
Okay.
It's like, to me, there's nothing that's changed. Nothing has changed. I'm still doing exactly what the company has always done. And that's the key issue that's caused the sticking block. I mean, I can't speak for Rochelle. She's the investigator. But say, for example, I turned around and given her a reason why the company had changed its tune and suddenly was taxable activity, we wouldn't be here today. The problem has occurred because there is no change.
Hello, Mr. Smith. Gary here.
Yeah, hello, Gary.
I'm just, was there any reason why you didn't appeal Judge Sinclair's determination?
Shit, yeah. I wasn't allowed to.
So you weren't allowed to?
I'm a director of a company. If I incur any debt, knowing full well that the company cannot afford that debt, I'm in the shit. I cannot. Even though Judge Sinclair says, acknowledges that the company had to have legal representation. How the hell am I going to get legal representation? Go to legal aid? Well, that's a loan, not a gift. So therefore, as a company director, if I went to legal aid and made an application knowing full well that the company had no way of paying it, that's fraud. I can't go and appeal.
So a lack of finances was basically the issue?
No. The company had not even commenced trading. It had done its invoicing, but it couldn't do what it wanted to do because you guys wouldn't give the GST refund. At that stage, it was $6,000 or $8,000. I mean, I was in a catch-22 situation. What the hell am I supposed to do? Go to a lawyer and say, can you please, there's no way the company, I got to incur liability as a director of a company in order to sue the Inland Revenue Department and the High Court. Come on.
Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. The company didn't have sufficient funds to pay for a lawyer to file an appeal. I'm just trying to clarify.
Sure. If you want to put it that way, sure. The company was solvent. The company had done nothing wrong. It was a licensed private investigative company. It was providing services. And your man, Oscar Upperton, I don't know if you know him personally, but he stood in court. Gary, I can tell you, brother, I will never forget this. The day that I die, I stood in court watching Oscar Upperton say to the judge, Your Honor, but he is not in business because he has a house truck. I mean, oh, shit. And then you the judge acknowledges that I have to, as a company, have legal representation. If it was me, I'd go there and fight right through the Privy Council, but I couldn't because it was a company. It was a new company that had just been adjudicated under what I believe is a shallow and sloppy situation, which I wasn't allowed to even sell my book. I can't blog about it. I can't sell it because Judge Sinclair said no under an application that she requested me to do. I only did what you guys asked me to do, and I found myself in a position where, as a director of a company, I either had to incur debt that I knew full well that it could never pay, never ever in a million years. It's about $10,000 a day in a high court. That's what it costs, roughly. You'd know that more than me. And you say the company couldn't afford it. Yeah, well, that's technically true. Did I answer your question, Gary?
Yeah, I wasn't trying to trick you. Sure. Anything. I just was wanting to know why an appeal wasn't lodged.
I would have lodged an appeal in 10 minutes if I had my way, but I couldn't. I was not allowed to. The law makes it quite clear. It's a criminal offence for a director of a company to incur a debt the company cannot pay. There's only two ways I know of a company can represent itself in the High Court, legal representation or legal aid. Both of them are incurring debt where I know I couldn't pay, so I couldn't pay, I couldn't appeal. It was simple. My lawyer said, it's not going to work out well for you in the long term. I said, what can I do?
No, thank you.
Michelle.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So their first point has been discussed now. Dennis, are you, was there anything else you wanted to add, or we can move to the next point?
Happy to do whatever you want, Rochelle.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Okay. So the next point was you wanted to discuss the decision of the TRA?
Yes, I do. I would like to address the TRA decision at two levels because there were two judgments. It is my take that the first judgment, which was an interlocutory judgment over whether or not it could be blogged, indicated a protectionist attitude towards the taxation Act, TRA Act, whatever the one that was, that twisted a protection for the taxpayer into a protection of the court laws or the TRA confidentiality. And that the commissioner's position that they needed the space or the intellectual space or whatever legal space to be able to defend themselves as bullshit. It's just nonsense. The law was created to protect the taxpayer from the commissioner and her ilk, from, I don't know how to phrase this, but whatever it was, the authorities or the government. So the government has enormous power. And so the protection of the taxation review authority, which required confidentiality, was not designed to protect the integrity of the TRA. It was designed to protect the taxpayer. Now, because the company incurred the debt, the company took the case against the judge, the company needed to have representation in order to appeal or the interlocutory judgment or to seek legal advice and to stand up for the little guy and say, but it's not fair, Your Honor. The bottom line was that I ended up as a taxpayer, or sorry, the company ended up as a taxpayer in the shit. It could not sell its book because of a ruling of what I call a gag order or silence. To me, that was wrong, but I could not do anything about it. I'm not a lawyer. I don't think quickly on my feet. I can speak it, but it requires a lot of processing. So therefore, I was at a disadvantage when I went into the court. So that's the first thing. And I think, Gary, if you approach it from a legal perspective, the ruling has been made that I could not blog and that I still to this day cannot share about it. The only thing is that Rochelle has opened it up slightly by saying this is on the record and I can refer to it now publicly. But the ruling is clear that I cannot cannot as a blogger, as an investigative journalist, as a commercial publishing house, I cannot talk about this matter identifying myself with that judgment in 2019. That's not fair. So that's the first aspect. The second aspect is the one that Alan referred to before, which says that a ruling was issued. Yeah, I know, a ruling was issued. The fact that it was shallow and sloppy, that's my opinion. I had no chance to stand up to her ruling. She has twisted facts totally, and I'll tell you straight, it's nonsense. I mean, how many years does a guy have to trade or produce a taxable activity for someone to say, okay, perhaps she got it wrong? I don't know. It might take 10 years. I don't care. I'll just carry on doing what I'm doing. But it's a hell of a position for me to be in the moment, because what does the company do when it comes to GST? I believe that the company is taxable activity and paying GST and has paid GST, and I'll continue to invest into it. But the ruling is to the contrary. So what do I do in the future? So the difficulty that has arisen from a judgment that would have been overturned on appeal, for surely to goodness, even if it wasn't, whatever. But the difficulty that has arisen is that you and I are now talking and arguing about something which to me is a no-brainer. Is the company providing a taxable activity? Yes. Has it always? Yes, it was set up to do that. Except for the personal stuff and the agenda stuff, which, look, you know, I don't know how much you've dived into what Linda's done in the past, but I can tell you now, I don't believe that the commissioner is straight and being honest about it. As I've put in my opening statement, it's like, at what point does someone, that's you, me, or the gatepost, I don't care who it is, at what point do they sit down and say, okay, this ruling's dodgy? So do I want to discuss it? Yeah, possibly, but I don't really want to go into a full-on analysis of the judgment. I just want someone to make some common sense decision that, okay, nothing has changed, but he either is or is not paying tax. If he is, doing a taxable activity, if he is a taxable activity, tax him and let him charge and pay and refund GST. It's so simple to me. But I'm sorry. Rochelle, I feel like I've sort of talked about your subject, but is that sufficient? Do you guys understand where I'm at?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, we're all nodding.
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, okay. All right. So basically, I believe that the company is continuing doing what it's always done, that it's always been taxable, conducting a taxable activity. End of story. Let's move on. What's the next issue?
Oh, perhaps if I could just ask another question or maybe make a comment.
Yeah, sure.
And given the TRA has found that there was no taxable activity up until March 2019, and I appreciate you don't agree with the court decision, and IR obviously agreed in those proceedings with that position, and this subsequent dispute indicates IR still maintains that there's no taxable activity by the company. What would if you took that position going forward that there's no taxable activity and no requirement for right and wrong to be GST registered or to charge GST, I suppose my question is why not just take that approach? You indicated there'd be some concerns that you've got it wrong, but you know clearly given you've got a TRA decision and IR telling you that the position is there's no taxable activity, why not just proceed on that basis?
Because I'm straight.
Yeah, I appreciate when you say you're straight, you believe in taking a position you believe to be correct.
No. I'm talking about today. Now, do I charge GST? Yes or no?
Well, that's what this dispute is about. But the position clearly up until March 19 by the TRA and IR is no. And the position taken in the NOPA is also no.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, sir. I buy a company, right? It's GST registered. It trades for a year. I then close it down. is that a taxable activity or not?
Well, it depends on the activity of the company itself.
Well, it's TSC registered. It's been trading since 2011. The company's name is Abundant Past Limited. It's all in the documents. So you just do a company's record and you'll see that Righting the Wrong Limited owns a company that is GST registered, that is trading and making a profit. So you want me to not declare that profit? You want me to, what, bullshit to everyone that there's no GST? How many hundred thousand dollars do I charge exclusive of GST, knowing full well that the law says that if you charge over 70 grand, then you've got to pay GST? I'm sorry. I play by the rules. The problem has arisen because of the ruling. The ruling is dodgy. It's wrong. The company has always intended to trade. It has always traded. It's had a bank account. It's a bloody licensed investigator. I paid $616. So I paid $200 just recently to get my own personal license renewed. The whole purpose of being in business is to create a taxable activity that makes a profit. And you're saying, well, why don't you just face up? Well, I can't face up to a falsehood. I'm straight, I tell you. What do you want me to do? Charge GST or not charge GST? Take the tax. Listen, I could end up paying, I should end up paying tax on profit. Assuming the company made $100,000 profit, you want tax on that or are you going to give it to me?
So are we talking for GST?
Well, it doesn't matter. GST, tax, anything. The reality is the reality. The company is invoicing more than $60,000 to $70,000. It has to charge GST. End of story.
Is this Righting the Wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this the invoices you've provided show this?
No. The invoices I provide show that the company is continuing to trade, doing exactly what it has always done. Look at the company's register and go and search Abundant Past Limited. Look at the owner. It's Righting the Wrong Limited. Abundant Past Limited is a company that was established in 2011. We purchased it in March of 2019, traded it, paid GST on it, made a profit on it, or a loss, I can't remember what. And it's like, hang on, guys, you want me to what? Not charge GST? Sorry, the owner of this company is determined that he's non-taxable activity. At what point does sublime become ridiculous? It's like, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I'm sorry, I have to produce a tax return. And it just got so stupid. Rochelle has said, okay, show me your documents. I say, whatever. So I give her the documents, and then I bet you need to do more, and it's in the end, oh, look, forget it. I'm not even going to do returns. Why not? Because you're absolutely determined it's not taxable activity. So what do? I break the law or I break the law, one way or the other. And I don't want to. I don't know if I think I've addressed your question. I haven't answered it. Why not? I don't know. Because I'm straight, I guess, is the direct answer.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's fine.
Okay.
You haven't filed income tax returns. So before answering that, perhaps, you do realise there's a sort of a distinction between taxable activity for GST and just being in business as a whole?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the full details. But look, what's the point in sitting down and giving? I stood in the Taxation Review Office in Auckland, and I listened to Crown Law backpedal and lie to the judge after I said, excuse me, you have said this. And they said, oh, but. And I thought to myself, yeah, you take and take. There's no give and take. You're unrealistic. You're claiming a bullshit story. You're standing up behind and saying, oh, but the judge has said. Yeah, of course the judge has said. She's sloppy, shallow. She's wrong.
Okay.
Somebody has to somewhere, sometime, turn around and say, will you shut this guy up and let him charge his GST? Someone has to, surely. I don't care how long it takes, because I'm trying to do everything right.
Okay, so can I go back to your email that you sent through today with those invoices on?
Yep.
which I think, Rochelle, you can sort of sort them into different periods.
It's simple. Those invoices are all the invoices created from the, I think I just said 2019, whenever. There might be a cut-over period of a month or two, but if you want to use them to establish tax periods, well, get me to do it. Tell me to do it. But at the moment, you're telling me not to do it. Well, I think you are. I'm not really sure what your position is.
Well, our position, as I've described before, is you don't have a taxable activity, but if you are arguing with us that you do have a taxable activity, and if you think that those invoices constitute an activity that's continuous and regular in periods after the current periods that are in dispute, because I've only got two periods in dispute, we'll be prepared to consider it.
Well, thank you.
Okay, but you know, as I said to you before, bank statements, proof of payment, invoices, you know, we've been making sure that they are issued to the right entity.
Sorry, you're breaking up. I didn't. All I heard was so.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm saying, so we require bank statements. You know, you've already given us some invoices, but that's why I mentioned before, working papers, putting them into the correct periods. So proof of payments made and received.
Well, you got the bank statements. Sure. Look, if you want information, just ask me for it. But at the moment, you're saying there is no taxable activity.
I just asked you for it.
Okay. So if there's anything missing, Rochelle, can you please, you should have a sequential numbers. Every one of those company invoices, I have more than one entity. I just simply create, I open up the last invoice, save as, and create it. There's no accounting system. It's just create the invoice and send it off. So if you're looking at your last invoice at, say, 1022, and your next invoice should be 1023. So just tell me if I've missed it. It'll only be a month or two if I have. All I did was I just said, oh, shit, okay, copy all the invoices from 2019 through to 2022, copy, paste, bang. So if I missed something, just ask me. It's not a problem.
All right, thank you for that, Dennis.
And may I please just make one more comment? I don't know what your attitude towards me is. You might look at me as an arsehole, an idiot, or a liar, whatever. But I will tell you straight, I don't lie. I don't deceive. I'm opinionated. Yes, I know that. But I do the research. I do the thinking. I read the documents. I'm not always right. But I will never lie or deceive. And that's either to you or to anyone. And that goes back 40 years. So thank you, Rochelle.
All right, thank you for that, Dennis. Okay, so we'll just move to point 5 now of the agenda. So that's just discussing any facts or issues relating to the dispute. Is there anything that you wanted to specifically raise in relation to the NOPA that was sent to you by the commissioner?
Yeah, sure. Why aren't you carrying on right through to the current period? Like, as far as I'm concerned, the company has continued to trade. The company has a problem on whether every single invoice has to have a clause on it that says GST is included or not included, depending on IRD rulings. I mean, it's a hell of a position for me to be in, but what can I do? I have a house truck outside that's sitting there half sign written waiting for this issue to be resolved. How long's it been out there? Well, 4.5, 5 years. I think I purchased it in 2015. Is that 6 years? I don't know. So I cannot start my business until you guys get your act together. And you say, oh, yeah, but that's an offensive statement because we've got our act together. Yeah, you've taken a position that's faulty, that's wrong. I'll tell you why you took that position, because I know the history going right back to the first phone call. But I'm not interested in that at this stage. I just simply want you guys to look at the facts afresh and say, okay, there was a ruling, right or wrong. The commissioner has taken a position, right or wrong. The current situation is that this guy is clearly got a company that is in business. And Rochelle, to answer your question, yes, I do want to discuss it because the reasons why I say the company in business has never changed. There's a truckload more proof. This is even without going back to attacking the judgment or the commissioner's position. The current position is that it still owns Abundant Past Limited. Abundant Past has never traded since for the last year or two. Should have been struck off ages ago, but Inland Revenue has stopped it. Are you aware of that, guys? Are you aware that Abundant Past Limited ceased trading? It had a zero balance sheet, a zero bank account. It paid all its GST and its POY up in full and ceased trading, what, 2 years ago? October 2020, I think it was, or 2019. Now, if a company, Righting the Wrong Limited, owns another company that is GST registered, that is a taxable activity, is not the owner of the company a taxable entity conducting a taxable activity? I would have thought so. On what basis is it not? A dopey ruling? Thank you for listening.
I wouldn't have thought there would have been a taxable activity in itself. For instance, you might be an investor.
Well, I am an investor. Righting the Wrong purchased the company because it saw profit.
Yeah, if you have a holding company which owns a company which is the trading entity,
so
the holding company essentially only receives dividend income from the trading entity, there's no supplies being made by the holding company that would require it to be registered for GST.
Absolutely. But is it not proof that it's out there conducting business? Sure. It's just one factor. It's not... Yeah. It's not legal proof that it's a taxable activity. Of course not. I know that. But in the context of a dispute with IRD that claims that just because it's what, I still don't even know the reason why you guys, except for the fact there's been a tax ruling, that you guys claim that in that a licensed private investigative company, Righting the Wrong Limited, is not a taxable, conducting a taxable activity. There's no evidence that it's not. You can't prove a negative. That's what I'm saying to idiots all the time, and it's that you cannot prove a negative. It's not possible. Without being God and knowing everything, it's not possible. I'm saying it is. I'm providing evidence that it is. I always have, and they're twisting the evidence. That's what the judge did. You know, the primary reason that she said, and this gets back to this dopey ruling, the primary reason that she determined was that she said, I'm not convinced because, and then she twisted the evidence of one of my witnesses around 100%. His reply was, yeah, I can believe that. And she said, oh, he doesn't know. He does know. There's 1,000 emails backwards and forwards over a period of time, and she used that, the twisted it totally around the wrong way and said, I'm not convinced because he obviously doesn't know. That turn of phrase from that guy, the guy has autism, meant the total reverse opposite of what she claimed. Bullshit. It's like, okay, whatever. I can't argue that. It's just the way it is. What I can argue is that the company is continuing to trade. It's continuing to provide a taxable activity. It's got a website. It has a license. In fact, I think it's 4.5 years the company has even had its investigator's license.
Sorry, Dennis, you got cut off in your last sentence. Could you please repeat that again?
I finished and shut up because I'm so, quite honestly, I'm pissed off, Rochelle. Like, it's, anyway, is there anything more I want to say? No, I think you guys know what the score is. I'm opinionated. I shoot straight. I will address all your questions. You can rule however you like and do whatever you want. It's no problem. Move on, Rochelle. End of, I really should, like a two-way say, end, over.
All right, thank you for that, Dennis. So is there anything additional you'd like to add to your NOR?
To my NOR.
Notice of response, so sorry.
Oh, I don't have it in front of me. If it just basically says you guys are nuts and you're wrong, then that's all that's necessary. You have to prove that I'm not. I say that I am. I prove the evidence. One thing, guys, and listen, please, don't take this personally, but I'm not going to listen to you and change the way the company does its business. The company is the company. It will conduct its business. It will invoice. Whether it makes a profit of $1 million or $1, it doesn't matter, or even a loss, it doesn't matter to me. I do not structure, I structure my affairs based on what the tax rulings are, but I do not conduct business in order to either screw with IRD or rip them off or whatever. I avoid taxation. That is true. I'm active and I teach that, tax minimization. However, I do not conduct business in order to cause you a problem. Those invoices come as a result of other things than decisions relating to IRD. So all those invoices I've given to you, that is, given the circumstances, what the company has traded. As I said before to you guys about owning Abundant Pass Limited, I purchased that for a different reason relating to tax. It just happened to be that writing the wrong was the company that purchased it. Thank you. Over.
Right. Thank you for that, Dennis. Okay, so we're just going to move to point seven now, which is to discuss the legal arguments relating to the dispute with writing the wrong. So in relation to that, you would ask to move the topics. So the first topic is GST deregistration and taxable activity.
So okay, so the reason I wanted that one discussed first was because if you believe that I'm trying to avoid tax or that I've got something wrong or something, that then that surely must be addressed first. If I believe that the company is conducting a taxable activity, it needs to be registered, it should be registered, then that's an important factor. I think I've made my position clear. I doubt that anyone in this room would ever not be able to say what my opinions are. I've made them very clear. So on that basis, can you please ask me the questions which you want to know the answers to?
All right, thank you for that, Dennis. Well, in terms of the NOPA that was issued to you by the commissioner, it stated that the commissioner's view was that the writing wrong was not carrying on a taxable activity that was continuous or regular in accordance with Section 6. And the commissioner proposes to cancel writing the wrong's GST registration from 1 April 2019 in accordance with Section 52.5 and 52.5A.
Yeah, and if I can just jump in here, that's obviously our proposal, but you provided some information this morning that we'll have to look at, okay? So it's up to you whether or not you want to respond to that at this stage.
My response is this. I think my position is very clear. I have explained that I believe that the commissioner is wrong to have made that decision, or that her NOPA is based upon a dodgy court case, and that anyone that was going to assess the situation afresh should really look at it objectively and say, is the guy trading or not? Forget the past. I know that the decision was made on the past, but forget the past. Look at the current situation. Is that company in this taxable period conducting a taxable activity? And I would suggest that the evidence says yes, it is. That's moving from the beginning of this disputed tax period through to today. I would like the opportunity to be able to challenge any thought process or anyone who thinks that it's not. If there was no ruling and it was a fresh company, there would be no issue that I could see. In making the assessment that yes, the company has every right to be charging and receiving GST and is conducting a taxable activity. If there's not, then I would like to know the criteria in which there's not, because, and let's just go through the law, and Gary, this may be for you to check, but there is no requirement to make a profit or a loss legally. The determination is whether or not it is in business, but conducting a regular, as you said before, Gary, a regular ongoing activity. It has, it continues to, it presents itself publicly and has always at writingthewrong.com as a whole bunch of stuff. It's done a whole bunch of stuff. It's continuing to do it. To me, an objective, obvious look at it says, yes, the company has every right to charge GST. There's only one exception to that, and that's the ruling. I've tried to explain that the ruling is the ruling, that it was undertaken by the commissioner for a particular reason, which is not what's on your file notes. And if you don't know the background, I'm happy to fill you in, but it was a dodgy case. It was personal based and there were people involved, which I'm not willing to go into because I didn't want to cause any problems, but it's in my grievances summary. And if you take out that ruling, which I'm asking you to consider the possibility, if you take out the factor of the ruling, then there is nothing that could possibly indicate to the commissioner that there is no such thing as a taxable activity. There's evidence of it. There is nothing fraudulent. There is, by the way, this is another point. You will never, ever find anything fraudulent in any of my returns in the last 40 years, nothing. No claim, no statement, no nothing. So on that basis, I'd say, well, what the hell's the problem? The only thing that's a problem is a dodgy ruling. And yeah, I know that you guys are basing everything on it, but what can I do? A dodgy ruling is a dodgy ruling. All right, so I reckon that the commissioner is wrong, and that's with a capital R. Over.
Okay, thank you for that, Dennis. Is anyone else wanting to provide any further information? Okay, we'll move.
Okay.
All right, thank you. So we'll move to the second point, which so this is again from the Commissioner's Notice of Proposed Adjustment, the NOPA.
Yep.
Which is the input tax for GST periods ended 31st May 2019 and 31st July. So the points discussed in the agenda are Righting the Wrong has not provided sufficient evidence to the Commissioner under Sections 22, 23, 23C and 20, Section 24 to substantiate the input claimed. The evidence must also be provided to the Commission in accordance with Section 75 and 75.3, Righting the Wrong has not met the obligation under Section 15B of the Tax Administration Act 1994. So is there anything you would like to add in relation to that, Dennis?
Yes. Rochelle, I respect your position working for the government enforcing the laws. I would ask that your supervisor reconsider his or her position in regards to everything from the point of the judgment, the dodgy judgment onwards. I believe that in the normal circumstances, that if a guy files a return with invoices under $50, that if they have been, if there are equates on the bank statement, in other words, if there's reasonable evidence that in the absence of fraud, which there is in my situation, that any reasonable investigator would look at that and say, yeah, that's reasonable. $49, $47, $42 worth of diesel, where it's documented, I think that that should be acceptable. Now, I'm towards the end of this meeting, I'm going to make a suggestion on a way forward, which if your supervisor, who I believe I know who it is, if your supervisor was out of the equation, that any reasonable employee of the commissioner would look at that and say, oh, for fuck's sake, it's only $40 or whatever. Just do it, whatever it is. There is no fraud. I've never seen any fraud. Just whatever. I think that this clause 59B or whatever it is that you said is, it's just nonsense. I can go back through all those bank statements and try and work out whether this was diesel or purchase of staples or whatever. But I genuinely cannot think of any reason why any commissioner employee would want to go down that track except for stuff I've mentioned in my grievances, which is easy to sort out. Anyone who's, if I was involved in that, I would just walk in and say, why don't you just ABC? It's easy, but it's too early in the meeting to do that. So I cannot tell you that this transaction was validated by a piece of paper or this transaction, whatever. You just do whatever you got to do. I don't have the figures in front of me. I'm not interested in the figures, the details. I do know that whatever my return was, if there's a mistake, okay, there's a mistake. It was done in good faith. I've entered into this meeting in good faith. I understand that you guys have entered into it with good faith. Look, for goodness sakes, you're talking about 10, 20, 50, 100 bucks or whatever. I don't know. So that's the additional thing that I would like to add to the actual document supplied to you. Now, the last thing along this lines is that you have to understand that I have a company that is supposedly trading, that is supposedly invoicing, incurring debts, paying bills, whatever. At the end of the day, you guys are turning around and saying it's not conducting a tax about activity. Why the hell should I end up having to fight you? Why not just do what, was it you, Gary, who said before? Why not just play the game and do whatever? I can't. I'm sorry. So that's the context in which you, that's the anger that you're dealing with, the frustration that you're dealing with. It's a guy who says, oh, what the? You want to go through and get documents or analysis. Oh, forget it. I'm just not there. Sorry, Arnie. Over.
Right. Thank you for that, Dennis. So as Alan was saying earlier, you know how you've provided additional documentation. So
yeah,
that will also be looked at.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. So in terms of what was outstanding in relation to the period. And when I mean outstanding, sorry, I mean the documentation that the commissioner had asked for earlier. For example, the work papers relating to the GST period ended July 31st, 2019.
I don't believe that anything I sent through on Friday relates to the two periods in question. It's everything subsequent to that. If there is, there's been a crossover. If you want something more from the time in question, you have to adjudicate that the company is trading. If somebody turns around and says, okay, we accept, for whatever reason, forget the past, we accept that from this date onwards, you know, there is sufficient, what I call prima facie evidence, there's sufficient for us to conclude that, yeah, okay, it's reasonable that the company is trading. The first person that does that has my attention. Until then, I'm just wasting my time, as I try to explain in the grievances.
So Dennis, can I just jump in there?
Please.
You're not going to get more documentation in relation to those two periods that are in dispute until we adjudicate, and obviously adjudication, I assume that you meant our own adjudication area, the dispute resolution unit within Inland Revenue. So we only get to that stage before you're prepared to give us anything else in relation to those two periods. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is, but you've put it a brutal way. It's not intended to be brutal. May I please rephrase what you've just said, sir?
Yeah.
My attitude is that you have all the documents. You have the bank statements for those two periods. If you don't, it's easy for me just to get the bank statement. Oh, no, it's not, because it's past 2 years. But you should have all the documentation. Whatever documentation I've given you, there is nothing that I have knowingly held behind. Now, my understanding is that Rochelle has said, I want validation of all transactions, including everything under $49 or $50. At that point, I just turned around and said, nah, too hard. I'm just not going to waste my time. They're playing games. It's just not worth my while. If you guys turn around and say, okay, this is genuine, it is good faith, let's all be honest about it, as you say in your documentation, everything on the table, then sure, let's look at it. Let's go through them one by one by one. There will be no fraud. There will be no changes unless there's a mistake, in which case, up or down, just fix the mistake. It's so simple. So you're saying that I'm going to hold something back unless you agree to something else. While that could be true, sir, it's pretty brutal. It's not where I'm at. I want to comply. I believe I have complied. She's asked for further information. Yeah, okay, sure, further information. But down to the point of saying, well, this is $20 this and $10 that and all the rest, I'm not there. I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, so the answer is, yes, you are correct that but there's nothing consciously that I'm holding back. It's the further information is to me wasted time, and it's not going to achieve anything when the whole thing is going to go to a judge anyway, if you've got a certain person involved. Over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dennis. So in relation to the two periods that we have in dispute right now with the
yep.
commissioner, so would you be able to provide any other information for the commissioner in relation to those periods? I'm sorry for asking you this again, I just wanted to clarify.
Well, the only other information is not documents. There's no other documents. The only other information is my analysis, which I would have to go through the bank statements and say to you, well, that $49 was diesel, and the same day I purchased $20 on a personal account and $49 on the business account, so therefore there must be $49 worth of business diesel and $20 worth of personal diesel. So that's the sort of thing I would be able to provide. And as I've tried explaining, is that it's like, oh, forget it. Just take the money. If it's that important to you, just turn around and rule whatever. It's like, okay, whatever. I just want you to understand, I've lost a couple of $1 million twice. If I went to Dubai, New York, or London, I'd either be a millionaire within a year or 18 months. I'm not stupid. I'm 63 years old, and I've been around the blocks. You guys have got a dodgy ruling. I can't dispute it because otherwise I have to go into debt, or the company go into debt. And as a result of that dodgy ruling, you're now saying the company is not conducting a taxable activity. I get it. It's like, well, just do whatever you want to do. I'm sorry, Rochelle. My passion is, I guess I've got to the end of the line with this thing, and it's just do whatever you want to do. I fully expected this meeting to end up going to the TRA again a second time, and having to go up to Auckland and sit in front of a judge and go through the same thing. I fully expect it. It's like, okay, they're of this mindset, especially if Madam's still involved. Over.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, Dennis. So we'll just move on to the final point, which was the onus of proof. So that relates to basically that's like the onus of proof is on right or wrong to show how the commissioner's proposed adjustments are incorrect and by how much in accordance with Section 149A of the Tax Administration Act 1994.
Understood and agreed.
All right, thank you very much for that, Dennis.
Over. Dennis, you've stated and you've sent us an email today with a lot of invoices on there, and you said 2 years worth of bank statements, but going for the last 2 years. But I think, Rochelle, correct me if I'm wrong, that writing the wrong hasn't filed income tax returns. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And how long has that been for?
Since commencement.
So
ever.
Whether or not you have a taxable activity for the purposes of GST is not necessarily a requirement for not filing income tax returns.
Absolutely, agreed.
So why haven't you filed your income tax returns?
Because you guys are being dicks.
Well, I don't think that is a reason that's acceptable.
Well, fine. You've charged me penalties. What's the problem? Everyone breaks the law all the time. IRD has told me that. I'm breaking the law. Okay, you're being dicks, so I'm replying. I'm not prepared to do something cooperative for you when you guys are telling me I'm not in business. You owe me a substantial amount of money. Please understand that.
Well, I'm just trying to resolve this current dispute.
Well, you've answered asked me a question and I've answered it. You said, okay. Why haven't you filed any tax return? It's separate from GST. Yeah, I know that. So you want me to file a tax return and I presume pay tax too if I'm making a profit. What say I file a tax return and there's a refund? You're going to turn around and say I'm associated entity, which you've done with the other tax entities that I have? I'm in the same situation. I'm telling you, sir, there is a specific, targeted, personal vendetta against Dennis Arthur Smith. I can prove it. I have proved it. You know it. You're being dicks. You, not personally, the organisation. So on that basis, no. Have you received any tax return from me or personally or any of my entities? No. Since when has that occurred? Since you guys have started turning around and showing your true colours, which all comes back to Madam in 2016, I think it was. February, when I had the audacity to complain that she investigated herself and found no problem with her conduct. It's like, nah. So, you know, that's fine. You charge me whatever penalties you want. You sue me, whatever. At some point, somebody within your department and within the organization, at some point, the commissioner must recognize that writing the wrong limited is continuing to conduct its affairs, providing a taxable activity. It is inevitable. I don't care, Sir Alan, I'm sorry, I don't want to get personal about this. I don't care if it takes a year or two or three or four. I have a solution for you, which I'll provide when we get to it. But you've asked a question, The reason that I have not filed tax returns for any of my entities is because you guys owe me a substantial amount of money. You have cost me a lot of money, and you're being dicks. Not personal. Over.
Okay, so moving on, Rochelle.
Okay, thank you for that, Dennis. So at point eight is identifying any legal or factual issues where there's disagreement between the parties. Is there anything you wanted to add in relation to that?
I think that both of us have conducted ourselves legally correctly. I think that the attitudes behind it is wrong. I think that what the judge did was wrong. In the hearing, she led me up the garden path good and proper, and I got sucked in. And I've been sucked in multiple times as I put in the grievances. But I think legally everyone's done everything legally right. Over.
Okay, thank you for that, Dennis. Okay, so we'll get to part two now, which is resolving the dispute.
Yeah.
That's negotiation possible areas of resolution of the current dispute that we're in. So the dispute relates to only two GST periods, which is for the 31st May 2019 and 31st July 2019. So that's also in relation to the commissioner's NOPA that was issued and your response, the notice of response that was issued for that. So is there anything you wanted to add in relation to that, Dennis?
No, I think the matter has been clarified quite clearly. The commissioner's position, if I may please to summarise it, I believe the commissioner's position is that based on the judge's ruling that the company has not conducted the taxable activity up until, say, March 19, that the next two GST periods, because I have turned around and had the cheek to say that nothing's changed, that therefore the company has not conducted taxable activity, whether or not there's another period or two or three before I turned around and said, right, stuff you, there's no more. I'll go with it. There has been no returns filed, either GST returns or ever tax returns. That at this point, until somebody steps up to the mark, there is a continuing ongoing argument on whether the company is conducting a taxable activity. My claim is that it is. Your claim is that it is not. I believe that your claim is unrealistic and that you guys must at some point change your tune. Somebody has to surely stand up and say, okay, the commissioner accepts that you, Righting the Wrong Limited, are conducting a taxable activity. That has to occur because that's reality. So the resolution comes to, well, how are we going to get to that point? Whether it's you or someone else, I don't know. Over.
Okay, so I think, I know this is part of the next steps, but, you know, as I've mentioned a couple of times already, that you provided to us today a lot of information.
Yeah.
Regarding the most recent 2 years, apparently. So we'll need some time to consider that. And I suppose taxable activity is something, obviously, that we'll have to consider. But we might need to ask further questions based around those.
Well, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
Have you got to the solution part yet?
Yep, so we're basically, that's, I guess, part of resolving the dispute. So if you wanted to, you can add that bit in now
No. There's no more that I need to add to that, Rochelle. What I would like to do is, when you're ready, to move into the resolution stage and getting practicable out where do we go and how do we do things so that the personal issues can be resolved instantly, once and for all.
Yes, that's fine, Dennis. We can hear that now from you.
All right. May I please, Rochelle, make this very, very clear that this is not a personal attack on Alan, Gary or Rochelle. Do you accept this?
Yes.
Everything I say here, I aim to offer in respect. I'm fully aware that as the phone call has gone on, as the meeting has gone on, that the tensions and the passion and the anger has come out in me. Hopefully, you will recognize that this is not personal. But I do not trust the Inland Revenue Department, and specifically, I do not trust the attendees of today's meeting. I repeat that this is not personal. I do not believe that any of the three attendees at today's meeting can resolve the matter at all. Therefore, the question is, how can we move forward in a way that the taxpayer can or does trust the people within the Commissioner's Department? Do you understand where I'm going with this? Do you understand what I've just said? Please, I need confirmation that you guys are with me. It's not that you agree, but you understand the direction that I'm trying to take it.
Hi, Dennis. Gary here.
Hi, Gary.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going. All I would say is that under our disputes process, the dispute would be referred to a different unit within IR. But I'm not, I'm not certain if that would satisfy you.
Well, based on conduct thus far, is that I don't know either, but it doesn't look very good, does it, when you look back on my grievances? May I just ask you one question, Gary? I don't need an answer to this, but is it reasonable that knowing who Rochelle's immediate supervisor is, knowing the fact that no one has ever told me, knowing that there is a personal grievance going back a long way, that is it reasonable for me to believe that all three of you knew or know who her supervisor is? Don't answer the question who her supervisor is, but is it reasonable for me to believe? I think the answer is yes. On that basis, it's not possible for you guys to be able to fix this problem. It's too big. It's gone on too long. It's too big an issue. But having said all of that, Gary, and that it is not personal, having said that, I do have a solution, because there is one person within IRD who is an investigator who can look at all of this and fix it in one phone call.
Okay. Listening.
I am happy to give you that person's name at any time that you are prepared to acknowledge that you will back out, all three of you, and you don't even have to admit anything. Just accept that there is one person, one investigator in the country that I know that I can trust, because that person has used it, her brain. She has said something that, to me, makes total common sense, and it had no agenda behind it. Everything else has had an agenda or perceived agenda, and that's the IRD's problem, is that I'm not stupid. I've been around the block, and I do not trust, whereas I do trust one person. If you want it, her name, I'll tell it to you.
Well, for a start, we don't agree to back out of what we're doing, but feel free to give us people's names if you want to.
You don't agree to back out. Sorry, bro, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, that was your terminology. You said you wanted us, you would give us the name if we were to back out. It's just repeating back to you what you said, or paraphrasing it, I should say. It's up to you whether or not you want to give us that person's name. I can't give the assurance of any backing out.
Yeah, well, the problem I've got is that I don't even remember using the word backing out, and so I'm not sure what I meant by the definition. I know what's important to me. I don't trust you guys. I believe that Inland Revenue does have a personal agenda, is protecting someone's interests, and that I have been subjected to a truckload of stuff. I do not want a confession. I don't want IRD to agree that it's done something wrong, but I do not trust the people that IRD, that the Commissioner has put on the case, and it's not personal. Listen, Rochelle, Gary and Alan, please, if I meet you in a pub, I'll have a beer anytime. It is not personal. It is a professional thing that I'm saying. I do not trust the people that the Commissioner has entrusted to look at the case and to deal with it. So the way forward is to clarify what I mean by back out. Is, am I correct there, Alan?
It's up to you.
All right. So I do not trust the current scenario. I have contributed with your meeting. I've met with your rules. You've obliged me by telling me, by giving me an opportunity to air my grievances. I have told you why I think that it's you're crazy. And I've explained everything as openly and honestly as I can. I guess what moving forward, I need to clarify at what level or point I'm prepared to, all right. May I please just have a minute to formulate my thoughts, because this is now moving into the projected resolution phase.
Certainly. We'll stay on the room. We'll remain silent.
I tell you what I'd like to do. Is it possible? Are you able to call me back in 5 minutes?
Rochelle?
Yeah. If we can just adjourn a meeting for 5 minutes, what I need to do is I just need to get my thoughts. It doesn't take long, but I just need the space just to be able to go through, to think through, under what conditions would I be prepared to work with Inland Revenue to resolve this issue.
Certainly. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll temporarily halt this meeting.
Yes, please.
Now. It's 11:38 by my...
Just call me back in 5. I just need a chance to collect my thoughts, write down a few things, and then I'll be ready for you in 5 minutes.
So let's say 11:45, okay?
Okay, thanks, guys.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye.